To hear or be heard. To hear or be heard. This is the thought for today of Dr. Herbert L. Byerly at University of Healing, Absolute Monastery, God Unlimited, Global Seminars, the Worldwide Healing Ministry, Order of the Absolute, Order of Absolute, rather, and Far Valley Ranch, uh-huh. And University of Philosophy, and the round table meals here, this restaurant of the round table, mm-hmm. And all that good stuff. To hear or be heard, that is a good question. Is it better to hear or is it better to be heard? And that all depends on what role you think you're playing. If you ever choose to take the role of a speaker, then your responsibility is to be heard. If you ever take the role of being a listener, then your responsibility is to listen. And it is very easy not to listen. Our minds give us a theater every single moment of every single day. If we do not apply ourselves to something, our minds will take care of it. They will drift off and wander around in the cataclysms of the earth and the catacombs of the earth, and they will see all of the adventures and all of the marvelous things that are going on out there and all of the interesting things. This morning we were getting ready for our morning talk, Thought for Today, which you're listening to right now. And as we were getting ready, everybody thought, well, let's clear the table. And so they cleared the table. They couldn't sit with mess in front of themselves, you know. And then as they cleared the table, then the dog started to talk, and we had to go and find out what the dogs were doing. They were talking to a neighbor dog, a big, black, beautiful neighbor dog who came walking up to the fence and looked at our dogs and said, it's okay, boys, I've taken care of the perimeters out here. All the property is secure now. You go back and you listen to the thought for today and you'll hear some very wonderful things about to hear or be heard. What is your choice in life? What is your direction predominantly? Is your direction predominantly to be heard? Are you a speaker? Are you a musician? Are you a performer? Or are you just another beautiful soul on the face of the earth sharing your wisdom and your genius with your friends and your neighbors and your family and yourself? Or are you some exquisite orator who speaks out and says beautiful things at all times, all the time uplifting your audience, all the time giving your fellow man the feeling that you are sharing something very special? You see, this is the thing about to be heard. To be heard, you must always realize what you have to say is worthy of being heard. Or shut up. If what you think is not worthy of being heard, don't open your mouth. You know what I mean? Don't open your mouth if what you think you are going to say is not worthy of being said. That's a small criterion. But if everything you say, you believe in, don't ever tout stuff that you don't believe in. Don't ever tell stupid jokes that have meanings that are not the type of thing that you would support. Don't ever do acts that are inharmonious with your personal nature, with your loving nature, with your hateful nature. Maybe you're a hateful person. There are some hateful people in this world, and they like to go around being hateful. And sometimes they're very successful. they're hateful a good portion of the time. But now, are they really happy people being hateful? Well, their parents have taught them the dog-eat-dog world. You got to get what you can. The short time. You're going to live only one life and grab all the good you can get and to hell with the rest of the world. Now, that's kind of a fascinating world that those people live in. I would hate to say that that was my type of world, that that's the thing that I would choose. Although sometimes when I say something or do something that's not thoughtful, you might say, well, that sounds like that's the kind of world you're talking about. Now, what kind of world are you talking about? What sort of picture are you giving to the world of who you are? If you give to the world a picture of silence, don't think that you're going to get away scot-free, because there is no silent person. For a person who does not speak and is always in meditation could be very angry with himself. And that anger is a aura or a charisma that exudes from their being even in their silence. Sometimes a little child will get angry and they'll just shut up and won't say a thing. And you can just feel the anger all over them. You feel it. And you know that they're very unhappy. And you say, all right, sweetheart, now come on. That's enough of that now. Let's get this over with. What seems to be the problem? And then you take care of the problem. And then, bah, there's that happy kid again. But if you let that thing habituate itself, if you let that thing grow, then both of you are unhappy. But since you are a happy person, you only allow happiness in your world and only allow happy people in your world. Now, you want to be heard, and you are heard. Now, you don't say, you damn little kid, come over here now, let's get this over with. You say, okay, sweetheart. Now, somehow you got shook up. Something's bothering you. Now, it can't be that bad. Let's work it out. Come on. Love, gentleness, caring. You don't precipitate the situation by saying, you're a terrible kid, you know, for being angry. Because he has to learn that you can get out of being angry just as easy as you can get into it. You can get out of being angry by just facing it, saying, that wasn't worth getting all upset about. There is an article in the Discovery magazine, and it shows the physical body, and it shows the centers of the physical body for anger and for happiness and for all sorts of things that make the physical body get ready to fight or get ready to protect itself or get ready for anything. And it says these are outmoded circumstances. These are things that we trained or were born into us as our primitive ancestors had them. And we still have them, and they don't benefit us. Now, through our training, we want to teach ourselves that we don't have to do that. We don't have to get all tense whenever anyone says something unkind to us. We can just immediately get all mellow and then not be tense. But it's a very interesting article. It's a very scientific article. And a lot of it is psychology, pure psychology, and very well done. And it's something that I've spoken about for years, that whenever we tighten up, whenever we get all upset, we shut off our enzymes, we shut off all of our normal functioning activities of our body, and our body becomes sick. Our body actually becomes sick. And this is it. Now, in hearing, we want to know what our work is. Are we going to be heard, or are we going to hear? Now, if we want to be heard, the first thing we must do to be heard is to be understood. Now, many people in many countries are so proud of their dialect. They're so proud of their uniqueness in their dialect. In Texas, in the East Coast, in Massachusetts, the Kennedys, either, neither, or, you know. And in Germany, my goodness, you got a dialect for every little burg. And you go to Switzerland, and every canton has its own dialect. and every little city in the canton has its dialect. And they make no bones about it. We don't care if you understand us or not. We have no interest in you. We know you're an outsider. Well, that's great. That's great. But you see, I would recommend to you, and this is something that's not new with me, even though you must think I'm a very brilliant person to come up with this. And of course, I know you do think I'm a very brilliant person to come up with this. They drew a circle to keep us out. Love drew a circle to bring us in. We are not interested in drawing a line demarcating our territory and keeping others out. Now, the Swiss are perhaps the grandest liars on the face of the earth. They don't want anyone in their cantons. They don't want any strangers. They don't want any unusual people there, like Germans or Italians or things like that, you know, or Americans. They don't want any of that. And yet, they have one of the finest advertising programs in the world for tourism. They want to bring all of these naughty people who think differently and talk differently and act differently than they do into their towns, into their cities, into their houses. And then these silly people, especially Swiss, you know, there's so many of you who are Swiss that I'm doing this. These Swiss people, they take their own child, their love, their child, the spirit of their life, the treasure of their heart, and they give it away to some American, and then the American gives their child away to the Swiss. As called
exchange students.
And so they exchange their child and let it go into a foreign country and learn the foreign ways and then come back home and never be the same again. But you see, deep within all of us is the desire to be heard and the desire to hear. Deep within all of us is the desire to understand what's going on in our world and listen with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our being. And the surface of us says, well, if you won't speak loud enough, I won't listen to you. And I'm listening to all of you every day. I'm listening to you as you mumble in your beer. I'm listening to you as you're playing your games. I'm listening to you as you're speaking to me and turning your head away and not giving me your attention. I'm listening to you as you're expressing your happiness and your sadness and your wonderment and your confusion. I'm listening as you're doing all these things. And you make me hear you less and less and less because you turn me off. Not because I cannot hear you, but because you do not let me hear you. Now, I can buy earphones to hear you, but if you don't want me to hear you, even with you speaking at the top of your voice, I cannot hear you because you don't want to be heard. Because you do not speak with a clear, precise, crisp voice. You do not speak intelligently. You say you're going to learn English, and then you speak with your Swiss Switzerdeutsch words. I say, when you come here to campus, you only speak English, not because I'm afraid to learn German. And when I'm over in Germany, I speak German with people as much as I can, but they laugh at me because I try, and I don't know their words as perfectly as they'd like. And so I listen to their hearts. Ellen had a lady on the phone the other day, and the lady said she had some problems. And then I used her as an illustration. And then Ellen called the lady and said, listen to his illustration. And the lady says, how did he know these things about me? I listened to her heart. I listened to your hearts too. And I tell you the things that I hear when I listen to your hearts, but you don't want to believe that, because they're not things that are always nice. And I'd like to only listen to the nice things of your heart, because that's all I believe about you. But to hear or to be heard, or both, what do you want? What do you want out of life? If you want to be heard, have something to say, please. If you want to hear, choose wisely who you listen to and what you listen to. Now, reminiscences are always delightful. The past is always charming, but there's nothing to compare with living in the present. There's nothing to compare with being in the here and the now, and being excited over every word that's spoken, every thought that's shared. Because, you know, Sylvia is sort of a creepy person. Sylvia has always been a brilliant person. And she thinks, oh, I am so wonderful. And so she talks about the past. But what Sylvia knows in the present is so much more magnificent than anything she ever knew in the past, because she's a new person today, that if she would only speak in the present, first person, present tense, positive, she would be the most brilliant person on the face of the earth. But because she goes back into the past, because she looks in memory lane, because she goes back into her thought, not living in the present, she makes us stop listening to her. We too then take a memory trip. And she's talking about the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. We too then go with her to the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and we do our own little journey. But if Sylvia would only talk in the present, only talk in the here and the now, only talk of the magic that's going on in the world right this minute, we wouldn't drift away, because we would be living with her in the present. And her present for us has never happened before. Her present for us is happening with us at this very moment. So, to hear or to be heard? You all want to be heard, it seems. And you all want to hear. Sometimes you want to hear far less than you want to be heard. And that's okay. If you want to be heard, speak so you can be heard. Speak clearly. Speak in the present tense and the positive. Live for the moment. Live in the now. And it's wonderful. And if you want to hear, then give your full attention to whoever it is that's speaking, or to whatever it is that is speaking. Whether it's the birds or whether it's the sun bouncing off the rocks on the side of the mountain here. You can just see them sparkling between the rocks in the crack and lighting it up. And then little sprigs of branches and bushes are jumping out all over. And you can just feel the hills are alive with the sound of music. And that's our world. Alive with the sound of wonderment. And let's be open to it. To hear or to be heard. Let's enjoy both. I love you.
Love you too.
Beautiful.